John chapter 5. John chapter 5. You know, I think that verse there, if you're sick and you can't get well, call him up, was for the lesson. Because the title of the lesson today is, Do You Want to Get Well? And if you know your Bibles, you know that's a famous line that Jesus asked the invalid there at the pool of Bethesda, right in John chapter 5. So let's just dive right in.
Come on.
Verse 1.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Preach the word.
Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now, there was in Jerusalem, near the Sheep's Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One was there, had been an invalid for 38 years.
Wow.
When Jesus saw him lying there, learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, Do you want to get well?
Wow.
Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me get in the pool when the water is stirred. When I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Jesus said to him, Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. What an incredible visual we get right away from the scriptures here. You've got to imagine this pool with these covered colonnades, and a number of disabled people sitting around this pool. And you say, why? Well, in the story, from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir the waters. And they believed when the waters were stirred, that the first one to get in the water would be healed of their disease. Now imagine, it's one thing to live life with all your health, all your faculties where they need to be, you know, kind of move around, run around. It's another thing to live life as a disabled person. And here this man is actually called an invalid. Let me give you the definition of an invalid. One who is incapacitated by a chronic illness or disability. Now, you may be here today and you don't have this problem. You know, you have no illness, no problem. You can get around fine. And so, maybe it's hard for you to relate and understand where this man was coming from who had been laying there for 38 years. Is that right? 38 years. Now, it's a little easier for me to understand because I've been an invalid before. When I was 8 years old, I was fine, running around like all the other kids. No problem. But then within one day, I went from being completely healthy to being paralyzed from the eyebrows down for several months. I couldn't move. I had sandbags around my neck to keep my head from falling over. I was on a trach to a breathing machine because my lungs were completely paralyzed. So, don't take your life for granted. You may think today I'm fine, and tomorrow you could be an invalid. And I was only an invalid for a few months. Then I was in a wheelchair for a year, a walker, crutches. I still wear braces on both feet to this day because my feet just fall. So if I didn't wear the brace, the L, to hold my feet up, I'd walk really funny, kind of like a Clydesdale or something like that. You've got to try to understand, the meaning of the story where these people were coming from. Now, Joe sent me a quote. You know, Joe works for the Chamber of Commerce and really helps especially disabled people to find jobs. And when we were even looking for a place to meet, it was very much on his heart, it's got to be handicap accessible. Now, I really appreciate Joe looking at the world through the eyes of someone who's disabled. He sent me a quote by a Nobel Prize winner. One does not truly know a culture until one knows how its disabled people interpret it, live it, critique it, and comment upon it.
Wow.
So in our society, how do you view it? You know, you may be fine, you're going, no problem. And we don't take time to stop and think about the person that has so much trouble. Joel's getting a taste of it. He sprained his ankle up, tore some ligaments playing basketball a couple days ago. And so he's been Hopalong Cassidy for the last couple days.
Yeah.
You know, trying to jump around, you know. It's hard getting around, isn't it, Joel? So you got to imagine how much this man has felt. 38 years. Reminds me of a man that we baptized in Queens, in the church in New York City, who was in a long-term care facility. And this man was never going to get out. He was in a wheelchair. His arms and legs were shriveled up. And so all was left was his torso, and he was in this wheelchair. And I would go over there to visit another man that we had baptized. And he was there, and every time I went in, he was so happy. Hey, Chris, how you doing? And one day I just asked him, I said, how is it that you're always so happy? And he just looked up at me and he said, what am I supposed to do?
Amen.
And I thought, man, I'll tell you what I really thought. I was a young minister at that time with a group of 100 or so in Manhattan. And I thought, man, I want to bring the whole church over here and meet you so they can be convicted of their grumbling and complaining about life.
Oh, well.
Wow. Amen.
Wow.
Reminds me of a quote, it's easy to complain about having no shoes till you see someone with no feet. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
We got to get an understanding and a gratitude for where we are right now and for where so many people are less fortunate physically than we are. But I want you to look down after Jesus heals this man in verse 14. It says, later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. And that had to be awesome. After 38 years, he was well again. But look what Jesus says. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. I always love that line. And of course it says, the man went away and told the Jews it was Jesus who had made him well. You know, when you've been made well, when you've been made well, you want to get out there and tell everybody it was Jesus who made you well.
Amen.
You
know what I mean? Amen.
But Jesus had an admonishment here that's very interesting that we got to look at. He's just healed him physically. But then he tells him, now stop sinning or something worse is going to happen. It begs the question, what could be worse than being an invalid for 38 years?
Well,
I mean, think about it. What could be worse? 39 years? Okay, that'd be worse. 40? But what was Jesus getting at? Let me give you the definition of sin. From the dictionary this time. First definition. Deliberate disobedience to the known will of God. Deliberate disobedience to the known will of God. How you feeling out there? See, when we're in sin, Jesus is saying, now stop going off. Do not go away from here and deliberately disobey the known will of God. That's what he says to this man. Or something worse may happen. What could be worse? Let me give you a second definition of sin. A condition of estrangement from God resulting from such disobedience.
Come on.
Okay, I got your attention here, guy?
Yep, come on, bro, I'm right here.
Jesus knew when we sin, it's deliberate disobedience to God.
Yep.
And there's a consequence for that. Isaiah 59 says, surely, the arm of the Lord is not too short to save you. God's arm is long enough.
Yeah.
Surely his ear is not too dull to hear. God can hear when we cry. Are we crying?
Yeah, there you go.
But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins, and we all have sin, have separated you from your God. The Bible teaches that God is turned away because of our sin. There's an estrangement that happens in our relationship with God because of our deliberate, willful sin.
That's right.
I want you to think, how many people out there in the world today, they're deliberately sinning against God?
Come on.
How about us disciples? Those of us that have pledged our heart and soul to God for the rest of our lives, how often are we humbled to pieces Because we end up doing something we know it's not the will of God.
Yep.
You guys with me?
Come on.
Yeah.
And this estrangement takes place. What could possibly be worse than physical sickness of this magnitude for 38 years? Separation from God for eternity.
Yeah.
Because of our sin.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus was getting at. If you sin, you don't repent, you could be separated from God for eternity. You know, it's so awesome when people respond to the message. When you're physically sick, you can't hide it.
Yeah, that's true.
But when you're spiritually sick, a lot of people, it's hard to even understand. It's so awesome when someone comes to an understanding and they decide, I want to get well.
Amen.
2 Kings chapter 5.
Come on, bro.
This is going to be the body of our text.
Come on.
In 2 Kings chapter 5, we're going to look at the story of a man called Naaman.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, for any of you that want to get well today, how to do it. Amen?
Come on, bro. Tell us.
2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. It says here, now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. His name was Ben-Hadad. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Okay, so who we have here so far? We have Naaman, who's a great man. And even his king looks to him and says, God has blessed us through this great man. But he was sick. He was a great man, but he was a sick man. Hey, I know all of you here today, there's so many great things about you, but are you sick? And do you need to get well?
Come on.
And are you aware of how you're sick? Because if you're not, you won't be able to get well. Point number one.
Come on, bro.
If you want to get well, you got to get real about where you really are. Before you're ever going to be able to get well, you have to get real about where you really are. Now again, let's talk about this. Here Naaman is this great man. Now, says he had leprosy. That's not something you can deny real easy. It's a skin disease, okay?
Yeah.
You know, if someone came up and said, hey, you got leprosy, what are you talking about? No, I don't. You know, and you try to hide it. That's exactly what we do with our weaknesses and our faults,
wow,
isn't it?
Bro. Yeah.
You know what we do? Jay Shelbrack was telling me he did a Bible talk on Naaman just the other night. I had no idea. He told me that this morning in the teacher service. And he said, he went around, he said, I want everyone here to say your name and something you're very confident about yourself. And then he said, now I want everybody to say one thing, one incredible sin that you're in right now. Roger, go first. We're like, whoa. He said it woke Roger up in the Bible talk.
Yeah.
You know, we don't always like to do that. Like Joe said in the community, just write our sin out there. You're never going to get well. Listen to me. You will never get well unless you get real about where you really are.
Yep. Wow.
In America, we love to put on masks and pretend we're doing so much better than we are. And sometimes we even do it in the name of trying to be valiant. You know, how you doing? I'm doing well. And you're trying just not to burden somebody else, but you're really sick.
Yeah.
And there's some things you really need to talk about.
That's right.
And you won't get well until you get really real about where you are.
Come on. Come on, bro.
Let me ask you how you're doing today. Are you close to God? I'm talking to members of the church. Are you close to God? Don't just put on, yeah, I'm doing it, if you're not. Because, disciples, you can be sick too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And even if God can wipe away our sins and take care of us for eternity, you may be suffering right now in your life here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get better. You can get well, but only, you with me, guys?
Yep.
If you get really real.
Come on.
Yeah.
About where you are.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Gotta get real. Come on.
Right.
Let's read on here.
Keep coming, bro.
You got a great man who's very sick. In verse 2. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel. And she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Isn't it amazing how God works in our lives? From very unexpected places, God will work. Here, Naaman had gone out and captured a girl from Israel. She was a captive. She was a servant to him. And yet it was her, this young girl, who came up to the mighty warrior and said, "Hey, you want to get well? Because I know a prophet in Israel. If you go, you can be well." Yep. Now, Naaman, at first here, appears to be very humble, because he takes her advice, and we're going to read on and see what happens here. Did God work in your life in a very unexpected way? Who did He use to bring you out to church? Who did He use to invite you? Is it what you would expect? No. You never know how God's going to work in a powerful way in your life.
Yeah.
Let's read on. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go." The king of Aram replied, "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." Now, his name was Joram. We're going to read about him in a minute. So Naaman left, taking with him, look at this, 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy."
Wow.
See, the king valued Naaman so much, he gave him money, gave him a letter, gave him clothes, and wrote to the king of the other land that they'd been at war with. Now, it's peacetime now, there are a few border skirmishes, but he sends him over there sincerely to try to help him get well, and really, he sends money so he can buy the cure here for his valiant soldier. Well, let's see how it's received by the king of Israel. You guys into this?
Yeah, all right. This is awesome. I'm with you, bro.
As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he was fired up and called on the prophet of Israel to help this poor man.
Nope.
See, I do that because I didn't know if some of you were reading along. You know, always get in the scripture. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
The king of Israel read the letter. He tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life?" It was a little melodramatic right here. Why does this fellow send someone to me to cure him of leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me.
Wow.
What is going on here?
Come on, bro.
What's going on? I'll tell you exactly what's going on. King of Israel, Joram, was not a spiritual man. He did not seek the counsel of the Lord's prophet. In fact, if you read earlier in chapter 3, there were three kings going to war. Really, two kings and another guy, but they called him a king. Three kings were going to war. And they hadn't really sought the Lord's will. But at the last minute, they decided they would. And so they went to Elisha. See, the king knew Elisha. He knew he was in Israel. And he went to him, and he sought advice. And he said, "Why don't you go seek the advice of the prophets of your mother and father?" And if you study that out, what that means is his mother and father had had prophets that basically just prophesied to the king pleasing words. So here was a man that had sought pleasing counsel and not the truth or the will of God.
Wow.
And
come on, bro.
Because he was like that, and they got into it, man. In fact, Elisha did counsel them in chapter 3, but here's what he said. He said, "If it weren't for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I wouldn't even look at you, Joram." So there's a little problem between the king of Israel and the prophet of Israel going on. Right? How can this help us out? Do you have an attitude with the man of God that he's put in your life? See, because Joram wasn't spiritual and had an attitude with God's prophet, he wasn't even aware that there was saving power to help Naaman right in his nation. So he's freaking out and tearing his clothes. And instead of seeing it and calling on the prophet within his nation to heal him. Instead, he views it as a political trap.
Yep. Wow. Come on, bro.
He just thinks, man, Ben-Hadad must be trying to trap me. This is political. He wants to start a war. That wasn't it at all, was it?
No.
Nope.
But that's how we get when we get prideful.
Yep. Come on.
And we get stubborn. And we're not spiritual. And we don't seek advice before we make big decisions in our life.
Come on.
So, you got to get really real about where you are.
Yep. Come on.
Are you prideful? I mean, I got to ask today. Because there's a lot of pride in this story. Are you a prideful person? The Bible says, with many advisors, victory is sure. Do you get advice? Or do you do what feels better, or easier, or more comfortable? If you want to get well, you can get well today. You with me, guys?
Yeah, come on.
Stop trudging through life trying to do it on your own and on your own best thinking.
Yeah, come on.
You got to get humble. Let's read on. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. He was a little confident right there, wasn't he? So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry. And he said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy.
Wow.
Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? What's going on here, guys? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Not just a little ticked off, guys. He was in a rage. You guys with me?
Yeah. Come on, bro. This is awesome.
The pride was just about to stop him from getting well.
Wow.
You guys with me today?
Yeah.
I want to talk to you. If you're sick and you need to get well, maybe you're not a Christian and you need just to get well, period. You know, it's great when God works in people's lives. Steve and Grace Droblitz are with us today from the church in Phoenix. And we welcome you. We love the church in Phoenix.
Amen.
And you know, for 16 years, Steve has been extending the truth of God to his dear sister Ginger. For 16 years, he's been reaching out and trying to help her get really real about where she is. And over the last few weeks, Ginger's basically turned herself in. She came to church last Sunday for the first time with us. She studied all week, and God willing, at the end of service today, she'll be baptized and forgiven of her sins right after church today. That is awesome. And when you see someone get well in that way, I mean, that estrangement from God, Ginger, is going to be over.
Amen.
All the deliberate disobedience is going to be wiped away, and you're going to be reunited with God. Now that's getting well. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's it. Come on.
But maybe you're a disciple and you had that happen a while ago.
Come on.
And yet there's some areas of your life where you need to get well.
Come on.
Is your pride stopping you today? Wow. And it's not me talking to you. This is God talking to you.
Yep, come on.
Naaman's pride just about stopped him. Point number two. If you want to get well, you've got to entrust yourself to the Lord's messenger. If you want to get well, you will not get well unless you entrust yourself. Now, this is a big one, guys.
Come on, bro.
To another person. Whoa. You mean entrust myself to God, don't you, preacher? Well, I do. Absolutely. But how's God going to work in your life? Hmm. It's through His messenger.
Absolutely. Come on.
See what happened here. I think part of the reason Naaman got so mad is because things didn't happen the way he thought they would.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
It didn't make sense to him. Hey, this doesn't make sense. I came all this way. The king of Aram wrote to the king of Israel who told me to come to his prophet. Well, it wasn't the prophet of the king of Israel. It was the prophet of God.
Yeah, that's right.
But he got to the door, and what did he expect? You tell me what he expected. He expected Elijah to get his tail out there.
Yeah.
He sent a messenger to talk to me? Does he know who I am? I am Naaman. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It didn't make sense. How could Elisha not even come out and talk to me himself?
Come on.
But he sent his messenger. You see, and then he said, I thought he'd come out, wave his hand over his spot, you know, and something magical would happen. See, he thought the power was in the prophet.
Yeah. Wow. Come on.
The power was in God.
That's right.
Power wasn't in the prophet doing something magical. He was just a messenger. How come he sent his messenger? He didn't realize Elisha was only a messenger too. So he got the messenger of the messenger. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Guys, practically, you don't have to talk to the preacher to get well today.
Come on.
You have to talk to a messenger of God. Any disciple in this room that's been taught the truth, repented, been baptized, and is living as a disciple can help you get well.
Amen.
That's true, bro.
It's not about the messenger. It's the message, and it's God that'll get you well.
Yeah. Come on.
Now, he also thought it was the water that would make him well. Mm-hmm. The Jordan was a muddy, muddy river, guys. That's why I said, dip in that water? Why, that just doesn't make sense to me. You guys with me?
Yeah,
yeah, bro.
Man, aren't the rivers back where I'm from? By the Greeks, they were called rivers of gold.
Wow.
See, he's thinking, clean water will make me clean.
Wow.
It wasn't in a ritual cleansing. What Naaman had to understand, it was about the power of God.
That's right.
It was God that was going to make him well. Yeah. How do we do, guys? Entrusting ourselves to the Lord's servant, to the man or woman of God that God has put in your life. Mm-hmm. Are you with me, guys?
Yeah. Come on, bro.
How are we doing entrusting ourselves? Acts 17 says, God determines the times and the places where we should live and breathe so that we could know Him and perhaps reach out to Him and find Him.
Yeah.
And He's not far.
Yep.
So God's working. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 2.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Great.
2 Timothy chapter 2. There's a scripture here about entrusting. And there's a principle I want to show you.
Come on, bro. Show us.
Chapter 2, verse 2. Paul says to Timothy, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others.
There you go.
You guys understand that?
Come on.
God had a very important message. He entrusted it to His apostles. Here Paul was saying to Timothy, Timothy, I'm entrusting this message to you. Mm. Now, don't you just entrust this message to anyone.
Right.
You've got to find reliable men.
Yep. That's right.
That you can entrust this message to. So that it will be passed on to others. Guys, guess what? You're the others.
Come on.
This was a long time ago. We're the others that it's been passed along to.
That's true.
And if the message was so important that it had to be entrusted, you hear me, guys?
Yep.
To reliable people, how much more does God expect us to entrust ourselves to the messenger?
That's right.
That's bringing us the message.
Yep.
What doesn't make sense to you? What is it that doesn't make sense to you about how God is trying to work in your life?
I don't know, bro.
Gee, it doesn't make sense to me to give contribution back to God when I'm not doing awesome financially. That doesn't make sense. What does the Word say? It doesn't make sense to me to go out and share my faith when I'm not doing awesome spiritually myself. I'm struggling, so why should I go share? That doesn't make sense. I shouldn't go share.
Come on.
What does the Bible say?
Come on, bro. Come on.
What is it that doesn't make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me that God can use me right now in my life.
Wow.
Because there's so much drama in my life right now.
Come on,
preach this, bro.
See, what makes sense to me is when my life's all in order,
yeah,
filed away neatly, when the house is paid for, the car is paid for and working properly, my schooling grades are well, my relationship with my girlfriend or my fiance or my wife is just awesome. My job's secure. The relationships are good. Then, God will use me to flat crank. Well, then God's going to use you to crank in heaven sometime. Because it ain't never going to be that way here.
No, nope, that's right, bro. That's right.
Look here. God used Naaman powerfully, even though he had leprosy.
Yep.
Powerfully. God used a slave girl to reach out and heal a valiant soldier. She opened her mouth.
Come on.
God wants to use you right now.
Yep.
Right where your life is, no matter how hard it is, no matter how tough it is, no matter how you're crying at night because it's so rough. God wants to use you now, not later. Are you with me, God?
Yeah, bro. Come on, bro.
Amen.
It doesn't make sense to me. I want to hold up Anthony Franklin.
Yep.
I'm so proud of him. It was a rough landing in Chicago. It was a rough landing financially. It was a rough landing relationshiply. It was just a rough landing, period. Let me tell you something. I feel like in the last couple of months, Anthony has totally entrusted himself to me. Our relationship is so much different. I feel he's a reliable man.
Amen.
I'll tell you another area he's off. He sacrifices. We're a small church, guys. We're trying to start up a church here. We're trying to start up a movement here.
Right. Come on.
And we need everybody to have the attitude, where do you need me? I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to give. I appreciate Mark just hopping up and driving and going to pick up the Drobleses, bring them over and be willing. Everybody, it's been so many, you've sacrificed so much.
Yeah,
but some aren't. Some aren't as available. Some aren't as willing. I want to hold up the Bouyes.
Come on.
Man, we wouldn't have made it yesterday if it weren't for the Bouyes. I got in a car accident, taking Andrew to the airport the other day. I got rear-ended, shoved into the guy in front of me. So our car is out of commission a little bit. Yesterday morning started with the Bouyes calling, Pam jumping in on a study last minute, and it ended late last night with the Bouyes offering to get up out of bed and drive my wife back into the city, back home, because she didn't have a ride. And Teresa said, I don't know what I would have done today without the Bouyes. Now, if you didn't get mentioned, hey, and you did something awesome, God knows. Don't look for the praise of people. Don't let Satan drive wedges here. But if you need to get well in your desire to sacrifice and serve, not for people, not for praise, but for God's praise and for His kingdom to grow, we need you. And that's the man Anthony really is. You got to entrust yourself to the Lord's messenger. Point number three, look at Acts 17.
Come on, bro.
I've only got 10 points. Just kidding. Just kidding. Acts chapter 17. Anthony'd be here for the 11th and 12th point. Amen. Acts 17, verse 10. You want to get well? Get real about where you really are.
Yep.
Entrust yourself to the person God's put in your life. And number three, test everything with the Scriptures. Acts 17, verse 10. As soon as it was light, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examine the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. He had two groups of people here. Those from Berea and Thessalonica. And they're being compared. And we're reading about them. And we're reading thousands of years later. Bereans were noble. Thessalonians, not so much. You know, when I study with multiple people at one time, it's easy to see who really wants to know God and who doesn't.
Yeah, that's so true.
That's right.
Because one person will go away and they will study the Scriptures.
Yep.
See, I'm not asking you to believe what I say. He said, entrust yourself, not blindly like a fool. Are you with me, guys?
Yeah.
You entrust yourself. You see a reason not to, you talk about it. You get in the Scriptures, though, and you make sure what I'm saying is true, just like they made sure what Paul was saying was true.
Yep. Come on.
You got to test it by the Scriptures.
That's right.
Then it won't be the person talking to his faith. It'll be your own faith when you see it in the Word of God.
Amen.
We have a saying here. If it's just Chris's words or Roger or Teresa, one of our words, throw it away.
Yep.
But if you get in the Scriptures and find out what we're telling you is the Word of God, you better obey it as it's the Word of God.
Amen.
Not
bro.
The Word of man.
Preacher,
point number four. Look at John 7. Test everything with the Scriptures. How's your Bible study?
Come on.
How's your Bible study in that one area that's going rough? What Scripture is helping you right now? John 7:17. It's an awesome Scripture here. Again, Jesus is up at a feast preaching. Let's start in 16. Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. I'm not just some guy with some opinions right here. It comes from Him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Point number four. And this is a fun one, guys.
Amen.
Unleash God's power in your life.
Amen.
Oh, now I might have somebody's attention. That sounds awesome.
That's awesome.
I want to unleash God's power in my life.
There you go.
How do I do that? You know, how do you view life? I was reading a book the other day. It's talking about how people view life. What's your metaphor for life? How do you view it? Depending on how you view life will determine how you go after life.
Yeah,
do you view your life as a circus?
Well.
If you do, maybe all you're trying to do is feed the animals. You know what I'm talking about? Do you view your life as a minefield? Just trying not to get blown up.
Wow.
I was talking to a dear friend. He said, kind of like a bad movie. I said, wow. So either you're thinking about leaving, or he said, well, more like I'm just hoping it gets better by the end. Guys, this is real.
Yeah. Come on,
this
bro.
Is real.
Come on.
There are people that need to get well.
Yeah.
And I believe you can if you get real about where you really are.
Yep.
Amen. You entrust yourself to the Lord's servant.
Amen.
You test everything with the Scriptures. And you unleash the power of God in your life.
Yeah. Come on.
How do I do that? Well, Jesus says it right here. If you want to know if this is just my word, some dude, or if these are the words from the Almighty God,
wow,
try it.
That's right.
And you'll like it.
That's right.
Take a test spin or a taste test. Don't just read it like we said in point number three. Do it.
Yeah, come on.
James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
That's right.
Do what it says.
Come on. Yep.
The proof is in the pudding.
Right. Come on.
Jesus says, you do it and you'll know that it's God's word. You won't have to take my word for it, or Nick's word for it, or Dre's word for it. You yourself will know, because you'll still see the power of God unleashed in your life.
Yep.
Look at Colossians chapter 2.
Come on.
I'm going to throw this one in just for ginger.
Amen. This is awesome, bro. Keep it going.
Didn't intend on this one, but Colossians 2 is just for ginger. Let's talk about this incredible event that's about to happen in her life. Here, Jesus is talking in Colossians chapter 2, and I love this verse. In verse 11, as soon as I get there, I got a new Bible here. It's hard navigating a brand new Bible. Colossians chapter 2, in verse 11. It says here, in him you were also circumcised. Now, circumcision, of course, is little baby, little boy baby. They just take care of a little matter there and get circumcised, cut away the foreskin. That's not what we're talking about. In him, in Jesus, you are also circumcised. That's the image he's trying to help you understand with. In the putting off of the sinful nature. Not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. So you see, in the same way you take a little baby, and I remember seeing my son Austin get circumcised. It was very painful. It was more painful for him, but he doesn't remember it. I remember it. So it's lastingly painful for me. Remember that? There they cut away the baby's foreskin and get rid of that stuff. We don't need it. Here Jesus himself is circumcising you. It's not done by an angel or a messenger this time. It's done by Christ. But what's he circumcising? Our sinful nature. Cutting it off. Getting rid of it.
Come on.
I haven't asked, you know, if you had a child circumcised, what did you do with that stuff after you circumcised it? Did you hang on to that stuff? Maybe bronze it, put it on the mantle, baby's first foreskin, you know? No! Hey, that's the image we're getting right here. You get rid of it.
Yep.
When we're forgiven of our sins, what happens? You get rid of them.
Come on.
That's what Jesus is going to do for you, Ginger.
Come on,
Psalm 103 says he takes our sins and separates them from us as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We're going to see that miracle today. Look at this. When does this happen? Verse 12. Having been buried with Jesus in baptism.
Yep.
And raised with him through your faith, Ginger, in the power of the messenger.
Nope.
In the power of the water.
Nope.
In the power of God.
Yep.
Who raised Jesus from the dead.
Wow. Come on.
You want to unleash the power of God in your life? He's saying right here, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Ginger, when you go into that water and you believe he'll take your sins away, you're going to unleash that power in your life.
Yep.
Amen.
Otherwise, you've been underwater before, swimming or whatever, so you're already forgiven. No, it's your faith that's going to unleash the power of God. Because you're going to believe God's going to do what he says.
Amen. There it is.
And because of your obedience, that's what worked with Naaman. It wasn't the messenger. It was Naaman obeying God through what the messenger said.
Yep.
That's right.
Unleash the power of God in your life.
Amen.
And number five, back to 2 Kings. And we'll close out here.
Come on, bro. This is awesome, bro.
Well, I'm going to have to show you one more. But we'll read here.
Keep it going.
But I don't have 10 points. I only have 5. So see, you just got cut in half right there.
Oh, amen.
Amen. Okay.
Next part.
2 Kings, chapter 5, verse 15, after he was cleansed. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now, I know that there is a God, there's no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept this gift from me." There was gratitude.
Yep.
He didn't let his pride stop him. You may have been invited by that little servant girl. And you came to church and now you've heard the message. You may go off angry today and hopefully some friend of yours is going to talk some sense into you like Naaman's buddies did. If it was something great, you do it. Just do what you're told.
Yep.
You know, the message is really simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a pretty simple message.
Yep.
Yeah.
But here he's cleansed. And he says, "Now I know there's no God." Point number 5, proclaim God's power to the nations.
Amen.
You want to get well? Proclaim God's power to the nations. Then you'll help others get well. That's what this servant girl did. She proclaimed God's power to Naaman.
Yep.
That's what Steve did. He proclaimed God's power
to
his sister Ginger.
That's right.
Amen. That's with me.
Yep.
You want to get well? Proclaim God's power. Don't wait for your life to be drama free. You proclaim God's power, it's going to get a little more drama full. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the truth. In fact, look in Luke 4.
Come on.
That's the last scripture I want to show you. Luke chapter 4.
We're with you, bro.
You can't proclaim God's power to the nations without drama. And as the nations get baptized, there's just more drama. Amen?
Amen.
But you got to love the drama. Kind of like that little baby that was being held up here for most of the service. You know, you got to love drama. You have a little baby, it's life, it's awesome, and it's drama, isn't it? Amen. It's the price of life. Welcome to the theater. Get your popcorn. Let's go. Luke chapter 4.
Come on, bro.
Here Jesus begins his public ministry. In verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in the synagogue. Everyone praised him. It's going good right now. Amen? He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up as a little bee baby. And on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In front of you today, I'm here to proclaim God's power to the nation.
Amen. Come on, bro. Come on, bro. It's awesome, bro.
All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's little baby son?" They asked, "Little baby, we used to look in the synagogue." Amen. But grown-up Jesus said to them, "Surely you'll quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard you did in Capernaum.'" I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown." Kind of like Elisha. "I assure you, there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land." It was a tough time. Drama, guys, wasn't it?
Yep.
For God's people, there's drama.
Yep, that's right.
"Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman, the Syrian."
Wow. That's awesome.
All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff.
Nope, that's our Jesus.
They wanted to kill him. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Amen.
Amen.
<That's> He was out of there.
Awesome.
Why did they get so angry? He reminded them of the story I just reminded you of Naaman. Naaman wasn't a Jew.
Right.
He wasn't of Israel.
Right.
He was a Gentile, baby. Yeah. But that's who God went to. Proclaim God's power to the nations. Not just one nation, but all nations. And they were furious. Let me tell you this. When Naaman proclaimed, "There's no other God but in Israel," that was a powerful statement. God's own people, Israel, were still wavering back and forth. That's why Elijah had told them, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If Baal's the God, serve him. If Yahweh's God, serve him."
Yep.
And here, a non-Jew, a non-Israelite, is saying, "There's no other God but Yahweh."
Yep. Yep.
Who's more faithful and more believing than the people of Israel?
Yeah. Wow.
And so he was healed. Man, Naaman's proclamation was a sign to disobedient Israel that God's blessing is found only in the path of obedience.
Wow.
Not because you're in the right place or the right church at the right time.
Wow.
But through obedience.
Preach it, bro.
Yeah. Come on, preach it.
Come on, bro. This is awesome.
When His own people turn away from the covenant faithfulness, God will raise up those who will follow His Word from outside the covenant nation.
Yes.
That's exactly what He did with the Gentiles in the New Testament. Naaman's proclamation put the Israelites to shame. It exposed their lack of faith in their own God. We got to proclaim to the nations. You know, last Monday night, my son and I got to go out together for a little dad-son date. Went to the Sinfonietta at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. He got two free tickets from his music teacher. My son has got in his head he's going to play bassoon in the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. He's 10 years old. He doesn't want an electric guitar. He wants a bassoon. Praise God. Amen. Let me find one. We went to the symphony together for a Martin Luther King Jr. celebration. It was an awesome celebration. And we were loving it. And there was one piece where they played for like 20 minutes. And there was a narrator who spoke of King's life.
Right.
And then a woman who sang the spirituals. Can I get a witness for my Lord? And, you know, going to the river to be baptized. And it was very inspiring. And one thing that really struck me during this concert, Martin Luther King was assassinated when he was 39 years old.
Wow.
I just turned 40 on Tuesday. God seemed fit to give me more years than this great man who changed the nation and who proclaimed God to the nations. Maybe not in every way we believe it ought to be, but in this powerful way to help everybody love everybody. It was said of him in his concert, King freed more white people in America than black people.
Well,
I love that quote. So many are trapped in prejudice
because
right. their parents taught them because they know no better.
Right.
So many were freed. After he was assassinated at age 39, the cry came out, the movement must go on.
Yes.
His death cannot be a death in vain. The movement must go on.
Amen.
When Jesus went to heal the man in Bethesda, He asked a simple question, do you want to get well? The man came back with some excuses, troubles. Jesus' next words were this, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. If you take the G from get real about who you really are, the E from entrust yourself to the Lord's messenger, the T from test everything in the scriptures, the U from unleash God's power in your life, and the P from proclaim God's power to the nation, it's found, get up!
Get up!
If you want to make a difference, if you want to get well, you've got to get up!
Right.
We've got to bring your neighbor day next Sunday.
Come on.
We're praying for 100 people or more to be here.
Amen.
There's a lot more people than that out there that are sick and need to get well. It's time to get up, get out, and proclaim God to the nations. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.